I think there's certainly some things that are exclusive to Lamar, and that's not taking anything away from Hundley. It's just certain things that are Lamar and no other human on the planet. But largely, I think they play to a certain personality regardless of who's at quarterback, and I think that that was on display a week ago. I think they're experienced in playing with Hundley. They know how to play with him schematically, and certainly he knows how to play and has logged some significant reps over his years there. One year, I think he was even a Pro Bowler when Lamar missed a significant amount.
He sure was, Mike. But it ain't gonna be Snoop Huntley. It's gonna be Lamar Jackson, according to Lamar, on Sunday night in the AFC North Championship game. And you know what? I am excited about it. I said it on Monday, and people crucified me for it. I would rather face Lamar Jackson than Snoop Huntley. And it sounds crazy, because Lamar's a two-time MVP, has one of the highest winning percentages of any quarterback that has ever played this game, but this ain't your slightly older brother's Lamar Jackson. Lamar ain't been right all season long. I love Doran. I miss Doran. I will credit Doran. At the very beginning of the season, before Lamar got even hurt, Doran was saying, man, I'm telling you, I think Lamar has lost a step. And since that point, it's been ankle injuries, knee injuries, groin injuries, sickness, reports about him feuding with the head coach, back injury. They're not getting Lamar Jackson on Sunday night. I mean, quite literally, he'll be the quarterback. But this ain't height of his powers, MVP level Lamar. It's just not. Jackson has four passing touchdowns and five interceptions since week 10. Those aren't MVP numbers. Those are Kenny Pickett numbers. This isn't one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL walking into Acrisure on Sunday night. This is a guy who's a shell of his former self. And I think it opens up the door for John Harbaugh to start out coaching himself. They beat the Green Bay Packers because there was no Lamar. You're trying to insulate and protect your backup quarterback in Snoop Huntley. Let him use his legs, but they handed the ball to Derrick Henry 36 times. Derrick Henry has never rushed the ball that many times in his entire career. Because there was no Jackson who was going to try to lobby with his head coach, hey, coach, I'm gonna go make a play out there. Because it's Snoop, Harbaugh didn't do the thing Harbaugh always does, which is get away from his horse at the end of games when you need to salt the game away. They simplified it. They handed it to one of the best running backs we've ever seen almost 40 times, and they put up 41 points. With Lamar, I think Harbaugh overthinks it. And I think Lamar is going to try to prove his worth out there. And the Steelers have had some success against Lamar in the past. I think he's flirting with disaster. I think he's going to hold the ball too long, take a couple of hits, and put the ball in harm's way in a way they would not have allowed Snoop Huntley to do. I'm excited that Lamar is going to play on Sunday night. Is that dumb? 412-928-9370. The Ravens have averaged 35.5 points per game in the games that Huntley has started. That's the highest of any quarterback in the league. That's a limited sample size, but it's a fact. 26.3 points per game with Lamar starting. Again, that's not bad. 26 points per game, that's pretty good. It's top 10. But they've been better this year with a healthy Huntley. And that's the thing. If we're talking about healthy Lamar v. healthy Snoop, yeah, you're taking Lamar if you're the Ravens. Of course, you'd feel great about it. MVP. But he's not healthy. And he's got something to prove. And I think those things don't jive. And you've got Harbaugh playing an unhealthy quarterback, and he's got something to prove. I don't think those things jive. I think the Ravens would have a better chance of winning if they simplified things, if they handed it to Derrick Henry. And with Lamar playing now, I don't think they're going to simplify things, and I think it's good for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Scott and Jeanette. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, bud.
I think a couple things you just said hit the nail on the head. I think when you're talking about the coaching comparison, if Harbaugh doesn't Harbaugh himself, I think the Ravens will win that game.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is if they come in and run the ball and control the ball, they will beat the Steelers. I'm sorry, the Steelers.
Yeah.
Because Tomlin's not going to allow Pittsburgh. I'll be shocked if he allows the Steelers to throw the ball Sunday night. And if they want to, and I understand they don't have their wide receivers, but with the group of tight ends they have, if he allows Pittsburgh to throw the ball, I think we saw that, granted, with DK Metcalf.
Yep, 148 yards for Metcalf, too, against the Ravens the first time.
Right. And then even in Detroit, you know, if Mike Tomlin doesn't try to turn this game into a rock fight, Pittsburgh can win the game. That's the only chance Pittsburgh has of winning this game, is to not have it be a rock fight.
I agree with that, Scott.
I found something interesting this week that, you know, I don't know if anybody else picked up or if maybe I'm just being stupid here. But when Aaron Rodgers had his conference this week, when he was answering questions, and they were asking him about playing next year. Now, this year, Aaron Rodgers has been very complimentary of Arthur Smith. And Smith's taken a lot of heat this year, but I think if you look at some of the games, Smith has been creative with that offense, with plays he's designed out of the Steelers' version of the push-push, some other concepts that have worked that even analysts that you listen to the game have said about the way they schemed this or schemed that. I'm wondering if the love affair between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin is not what it was at the beginning of the year, because I would think Rodgers, for as much as he gushed about wanting to play for Mike Tomlin, when he was asked the question about, you know, are you considering playing next year? Aaron Rodgers made the comment, well, I don't know yet, but, you know I would have some options.
Yeah.
To me, if he was that romantically in love with playing for Mike Tomlin still, he would have said, well, if I'm going to play next year, this is where I want to be if
Scott,
they'll have me.
I thought the exact same thing, and I appreciate the call, and we'll get to that angle a little bit later on in the show. But I'll let the cat out of the bag now. I think if the Steelers win this game and Rodgers wants to come back, he's a Pittsburgh Steeler. If the Steelers lose this game and Rodgers wants to come back, I don't think he's a Pittsburgh Steeler. I think he winds up playing for someone else. But more on that later. Right now, our guy Darrell from Baltimore, he's called back up, ready to talk some junk on the front end. You feeling good about your birds, Darrell?
Let me tell you something, boss man. Mm. Let me talk in my rusty voice. What you gonna do, brother? What you gonna do? Man, why are you psyching your fans up and pumping them up until you can deflate them after Sunday?
I think your guy's a Nimrod. That's why. I think Harbaugh is he's more of a fraud than Tomlin is, Darrell.
Well, they're both frauds.
That's what I said.
They're both frauds.
I
give you that. Mm-hmm. I give you that. But this weekend, there's only gonna be one fraud in the playoff. Fraud in the playoff. And that's gonna be Harbaugh.
So, you trust Lamar Jackson with that back and the knees and the groin and
man, ain't nothing wrong with his back. His back is right. His back is ready. I see him down in the harbor, parting the waters. He's ready to come down there and whoop the ass. Excuse my French.
You better be ready to call back on Monday whenever your birds are out there golfing, Darrell.
So I can bring the excitement, because it's going to be very dim over there. Matter of fact, they might turn the lights off at your stadium after the game's over with.
It's how my wife and I make love. Thank you, Darrell. Goodbye. I like that guy. I really do. He just calls up our station to talk junk. And on Monday, I wasn't having any of it because the Steelers came off of losing to the damn Browns. But I'm feeling good about the Steelers now in this game. Not overall. I don't think they're going on some sort of playoff run or anything like that, but I think they're going to get in. because I think Harbaugh's more Tomlin than Harbaugh is. And I don't think that Lamar is healthy and he's going to be able to play at the height of his powers. And I think we're going to get a virtuoso performance from Aaron Rodgers. I really do. There's no Metcalf, but it does seem like Calvin Austin's coming back, and that might not seem like a big deal. It is. This Ravens secondary is trash with a capital T, and you can't have Scotty Miller and Adam Thielen and Ben Skowronek as your primary targets. You need somebody that can take the top off of defense. And I do think, singled up one-on-one, there's one thing Calvin Austin can do. It's run really fast in a straight line. I think he makes a difference. I think Rodgers outperforms Lamar on Sunday. And I think that's the difference in the game. Bob in Maine. Hello.
Hey, Adam. Good morning. Hey, I wish I shared your optimism, my man, but I'll tell you what. I think the dagger took place a couple of weeks ago. When DK, with the loss of him, defenses can scheme much better. They don't need to double anybody. And I'll tell you what, you saw it at the Browns. Horrendous, horrendous offense without him. He brings in the skill set that's required to open up multiple opportunities for Aaron. That's not there.
No, I don't disagree with any of that.
I'm telling you, man, you got to, unless these guys got a plan, and I know maybe Calvin's back, but these guys, unless they are spot on their passing game and they've got all this stuff, you know, tucked in, I just don't see it happen. Unless D's going to have to get multiple points off a takeaway.
I actually do feel better about the defense than I do the offense. But
yeah,
which team's got a better defense, Bob? The Browns or the Ravens?
Oh, the Browns do. No doubt about it.
And it's not even close. Yeah. The Steelers, at the end of the first half, move the ball. And at the end of the second half, they move the ball. They have to do the same thing against Baltimore. And they can if they allow Rodgers to run the show. And I think that they will. That's what happened in the 3-game winning streak. That's what happened at the end of the first half and the end of the second half against Cleveland. It's the only time they had success moving it. You hand it over to Rodgers, you win the football game. And I think they will. And I think Harbaugh will make a decision or two down the stretch that will cost the Ravens the game. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. And if Harbaugh should give the ball to Derrick Henry, how do the Steelers go about shutting him down? Do you think that they can? We'll get into that a little bit. Plus, your calls coming up next.
It's obvious that the rubber's meeting the road, not only for us, but for others. We have intimate knowledge of opponents. The way that we do Baltimore, you really see some of their go-tos when things get thick. Just looking at the Green Bay game, for example, it's obvious, man, when things get thick, man, they play behind their big runner and the people that go with him on offense. 42, the big lead back, and 88, the base tight end. Those three often work in tandem as they work to win the line of scrimmage and run a variety of run schemes at you, leads, gap scheme stuff, zone scheme stuff.
It's all about stopping Derrick Henry, says Mike Tomlin. I would agree with that. Also, Harbaugh's willingness to utilize Derrick Henry, a massive storyline. Last week, the most carries Henry's had in a game in his entire career. The week before that, he didn't play the final two series for Baltimore as they were trying to salt away a lead against the New England Patriots. The Ravens have rushed the ball for more yards than any offense in the NFL. They average 5.26 yards per carry. They're the only team to average over 5 yards a carry. So when they want to do it, they're better at it than anybody else. And they have an explosive run rate that is only behind the Miami Dolphins. That being said, when Derek Harmon's played, the Steelers' run defense has been pretty damn good. I think it's the sixth worst in the NFL without him and the second best with him. The Steelers have shut down some of the best running games in the NFL this year. They've also not, at times, but mostly without Harmon. Against Detroit, 12 carries, 15 yards for my money, the best tandem in the NFL in Gibbs and Montgomery. Against Miami, They did a good job shutting down Achane. Against Chicago, they held the Bears far below their season averages as one of the best running teams with one of the best schemes in the league. They shut down Jonathan Taylor. They did a good job against Green Bay, a great rushing attack, and a running back that's tough to get on the ground in Jacobs. The Steelers, when they've had Harmon, have been up to the task at slowing down or stopping the run this year. They're going to have Harmon back in this game, and they're going to have TJ Watt, it seems like, back in this game. And that matters. When the Ravens ran the ball for over 200 yards in the first matchup, they gained just 31 yards on 11 carries, running the ball to TJ Watt's side of the field. On the 18 runs to the opposite side, this from Matt Williamson of Steelers.com, Baltimore gained 125 yards on 18 rushes. That's 7 yards a carry. I don't think the Steelers stop Henry in this game, but I think they can do enough to slow him down, and that's all it takes for Harbaugh to start getting squirrely in his brain. That's all it takes for the game to fall on the shoulders of an injured Lamar Jackson. I think the Steelers can slow that guy down just enough with Harmon and with the return of TJ Watt. 412-928-9370. We go out to Monongahela to talk to Newman. Hello, Newman.
Hello, Adam. Don's got to mark this down because this is the first time I think I've been 100% in agreement with you.
Let's go, baby. It's a new year, new you, Newman.
I guess so. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think Harbaugh will squirrel it up. And I don't think Lamar is 100%. I don't think he's even 75% of what he was at the height of his powers.
Yeah, he wasn't the same guy before he got hurt, according to Doran. And I think Doran's been prescient, man. I think he nailed that. And since he's been hurt, what is it, 4 throwing touchdowns and 5 picks since week 10? He hasn't been good. He's not all of a sudden going to flip the switch. Like, he might feel physically the best he has in weeks, but now there's a rust factor involved. And I think there's going to be a reliance to put too much of the game on him. I think that only helps the Steelers.
I absolutely agree, and I do think we can slow him down. We can't stop him. He's just too much of a force. But we can slow him down. We proved that in
Henry,
their own house.
Henry, you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he had a pedestrian game the first time around. Mid-20s in carries, almost 100 yards, but yards per pop, it wasn't what you're used to seeing from Derrick Henry. And thank you for the call, Newman. You agree with me as well, Dom. In fact, because you're on the air earlier than I am, you had the take first. You think it's better for Steelers and their fans that Lamar's playing in this game.
Damn right I do. He's certainly not what he was. You think two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson, he had the name, he can run the whole thing. I'd rather play him than Tyler Huntley. I feel very confident going into Sunday that the Steelers will get a W over Lamar Jackson. And what's going to happen is Lamar, they're going to lose. The whole thing's going to blow up and he's going to be traded to the Falcons by March? April 1st, he'll be a Falcon.
Man, I think they'd get rid of Harbaugh before they got rid of Lamar.
They could get rid of both.
I wouldn't get rid of both.
You could get rid of both.
Of course you could, but that'd be dumb. And just because it's dumb doesn't mean it won't happen. I'll be clear on that. Lots of dumb things happen. General managers, I think there's far more morons that occupy those seats than there are savants. So I'm not ruling anything out. And we have seen divorces like this in the past. I think that Harbaugh and Lamar are clearly not seeing eye to eye. I don't think, if you're that writer for the Baltimore Sun, that you put your career on the line and write the things you did if you don't have good sources. Like, when you go for the king, you best not miss. And saying that Harbaugh and Lamar don't have a good relationship and that Lamar is falling asleep in meetings and not putting forth the effort and things of that nature, I don't think you put your name on that if it ain't true to the best of your knowledge. So I do think there's a lot of that going on. And based on the way that they spoke this week, Dom, because I'm sure you heard their press comments as well, Harbaugh and Lamar, tell me if you feel the same way. Almost feels like both guys are going out of their way to at least publicly mend the fence. And I could see that through osmosis or whatever, trickling its way onto the field on Sunday. Harbaugh's going to try to cater to Lamar. Lamar's going to try to make plays for his head coach. Hey, let's give this thing one more shot. It's like the couple that's separated but doesn't quite want to get divorced. So now we're going to go out of our way to do all this stuff. I could see that happening. And I think that's what could keep Henry probably out of the game plan more than he should be. Like, hey, coach, no, watch. I got you. I'm going to win this one for you, Harbaugh. I know that the sharks are swirling and that we haven't been in our relationship at our absolute best this year. Let's do one more for each other. And then all of a sudden you look up and it's the fourth quarter and Henry's only got 18 carries instead of 28. I could definitely see that happening. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Staggering to me that the offense has been better with Huntley than it has Jackson. And Jackson hasn't been willing to run as much as we're used to seeing. And I think that's been because of the injury. Now, in this game, it's win or go home. And so maybe he'll be willing to put his body on the line. I think the Steelers hit that guy every chance he got. And that sounds like the easiest analysis of all time. But we've seen it in the past that that's the game plan the Steelers usually employ against this dude. On those read options, the zone reads, they just tee off on Lamar. I think because you've got Harmon, as we get into the nitty-gritty here, because the Steelers have Harmon, because Cam's been playing at an elite level, and I thought that continued even into last week, and because you've got Alex Highsmith, who's played some of his best ball of his career lately, I think Watt, you do have him just crack Lamar every single time he hands the ball off. Make him think twice about running. And if you do that, I also think Derrick Henry's going to be less effective. 412-928-9370. These don't sound like typical Lamar Jackson rushing statistics. His last five games, 2 carries, 7 yards against New England. 2 carries, 26 yards against Cincinnati. 7 for 43 against the Steelers. But they bottled him up, I thought, pretty well. 6 for 27 against Cincinnati and 7 for 11 against the Jets. He's not running it, man. He's not playing football the way we're used to seeing him play football. I don't think that that's all of a sudden going to change in week 17. 412-928-9370. You can give us a text. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dom, when we talked on Monday, you said Steelers season was over. Now you think they're going to the AFC Championship game.
That's right. The season was over on Monday. We went through the new year. We all drank a little alcohol, and we have become new and better people, and now I've seen the light. Things have changed. Things have turned around, and they're winning on Sunday. You have a problem with that, Crowley?
No. I think the Steelers are going to win. It's why I didn't offer a prediction on Monday, because I knew in the immediate aftermath of that disappointing affair against the Browns that I was going off pure emotion. But these last few days, you get away from it a little bit, and you start to see the bigger picture. Emotion leads you to be too narrow-minded, to zoom in on your flaws. You got to zoom in and see the Ravens got their flaws, too. Their head coach's a bigger fraud than Tomlin. Their quarterback's not healthy. Hasn't played well, really, at all this season, since he got the first injury. Meanwhile, the Steelers' quarterback, in 3 of the last 4 games, has been dynamite, and he's coming off maybe his worst performance as a Steeler. You really think that guy's going to string back-to-back poor performances together? I don't, and we'll get into that next. This is a Rodgers legacy game, baby, and I think this game is going to determine whether or not he comes back next year.
That's fantastic. I mean, everything about this experience has been great. It's been a special experience from the first conversations with Mike to the first day I got here in June to the, you know, some of the stuff I did when I first got in town, going over to Cam's house, doing Cam's golf tournament, being a part of the community and learning about the people of Pittsburgh and our fan base. And it's been a really special year, and we're playing meaningful football in December and January now, which is what I wanted after the last couple of years.
Have you ruled out coming back?
I haven't thought about it.
I don't buy the last part at all. Aaron Rodgers, yes, focused on the game Sunday night, and if you win, you make the playoffs. You got a home game in Acrisure Stadium. I'm sure that is occupying the majority of his thoughts right now. But you have to have some idea on whether or not this is it for you. And I think if the Steelers win the game and he gets to run out onto the field for a playoff game, that'll be enough for him to want to come back next year. Because then you can make the argument you're close even if you fail in that game. These guys believe in themselves. Whether or not that's actually the case is immaterial. If Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers get to the postseason together and they fall short in game one, which is what Tomlin has done now for the last 8 years and what Rodgers had done in the back half of his Green Bay career, I still think they're going to think, hey, we had a couple of pieces. If DK Metcalf had been there the last few games, maybe we'd have been healthy at the end. We could have rested our guys. I think they'll think, hey, let's take one more crack at this. If they lose, if they don't make the postseason, it's going to feel like they're a lot farther away when they're on their couches, respectively, watching these playoffs. So I think this game is massive from an Aaron Rodgers standpoint. And I happen to think he's going to play well. And I happen to think they're going to win the football game because of him. They don't have Metcalf, but you're getting Calvin Austin back. And the Steelers had a lot of success moving the ball against Cleveland when the ball was in the hands of Pat Freiermuth. And they did not get the ball enough to a guy who could arguably be their team MVP this year, Kenneth Gainwell. I think those are the three guys who are going to be the difference makers on offense on Sunday. Calvin Austin, Pat Freiermuth, and Kenneth Gainwell. You can't go into Cleveland with the same game plan or go into the Baltimore game with the same game plan you used against Cleveland. Get the ball to those three. They're your most explosive playmakers on that side of the ball without DK, without Darnell Washington. I think Rodgers knows that. I think he's got full autonomy. I think you might see more hurry up in this game. And Rodgers really has not had back-to-back poor performances this year, save for one time. And in the midst of all that, he got hurt. I think a big bounce back's on the way from Rodgers. Now, I don't think it's going to be an offensive show the way it was against Detroit or the way it was in the second half against the Miami Dolphins, the way that it was in the first half against Baltimore. But can you put up 24 points? If you do, I think you win. And I think he will do that, and I think he'll be back next year. 412-928-9370. Bobby, next up on the show. Hi, Bobby.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just have a little bit of a different take with the Huntley and Lamar, who's going to start this week and whatnot. I personally want no parts of Lamar. I know you guys say he lost a step, but it's almost a moot point. The guy's a phenomenal athlete. Even if he loses a step, he's still dangerous. I'd rather go against Huntley. Lamar still put up 2,300 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, over 300 and some yards rushing. I mean, he's still a top seven quarterback. I just don't think...
Since week 10, he's got more interceptions than touchdowns, Bobby.
On the season, he's only had, what, I believe it's six, seven, around that number.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately, though, Bob? I mean, this is who he is now. He's not healthy. And when he's not healthy, he's not the same player. And I think Snoop's a better athlete when Snoop's healthy.
I agree with lately he hasn't been himself. But I think going into a game this big with a competitor the way he is, I mean, that guy lives to compete. I just think he turns it into another gear. He got something to prove. I mean, he's going to want it as bad as anyone on that field. I'm telling you, I think the Steelers are going to focus on stopping Henry way too much, and it's going to leave Lamar Jackson wide open. I'm a huge Steelers fan, but I'm sorry. I think Lamar beats us single-handedly. I'll call back Monday and see if I'm right.
Feel free to do that when you're wrong, Bobby. Goodbye. Is Bobby an adult's name? I feel like if you're a kid, you can go by Bobby. If you're an adult, you got to be Bob or Robert. Bobby just gives visions of someone sitting in a corner wearing one of those propeller hats. When you're talking, when the substitute teacher's there, and then they tell you go write 100 times on the chalkboard that you're not going to talk next time the substitute's in. Bobby just doesn't seem like an adult name to me. We got famous Bobbies? I don't think so. I mean, Roberto Clemente at time would go by Bob. But he's Roberto.
Bobby Flay?
That's not an adult.
Right.
Bobby Flay is forever a child. Like, what's his name? Peter Pan. Peter. Is that an adult name? I think you got to be Pete. But maybe I'm wrong on that one. 412-928-9370. So Bobby says that Lamar Jackson, he thinks because he's a competitor, because this is a game that everything is on the line, that Lamar is going to play great football. He hasn't done that in the past when he has been healthy. In the playoffs, we have not seen the best from Lamar Jackson. In the playoffs, the guy loses at a much higher clip than he does in the regular season. In the regular season, he's one of the winningest quarterbacks by percentage of all time. In the postseason, all we talk about with Lamar and with Harbaugh is he can't get over the hump. So I'm not seeing it. Now, I know that Aaron Rodgers has had his playoff failures and futility, and that's why he didn't finish out his career in Green Bay. But Rodgers is at least healthy. Jackson is not. And this pretty much, yeah, it does amount to a playoff game. I'll take the healthy guy over the banged up guy every single time. 412-928-9370. Brian in New Brighton next up. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
I have a problem. See, with DK's suspension, we're at the same place we are every single year. There's always a caveat. You were talking about it a minute ago. There's a caveat at the end of the year where, well, if DK didn't get suspended or we didn't have this horrible schedule that at the end of the we were 10-3 last year, and then we had the worst schedule that they could ever put out there. So at the end of the season, let's sign him up and run it back. And it's the same thing every year. We end up 9-7. Or 9-8, and we get blown out in a playoff game. It's just the same old tune this year again. And DK gave it the scapegoat by being stupid.
I don't know that you're wrong on that one, Brian, and that's a good take. At 412-928-9370, if the Steelers miss the playoffs and Art Rooney II's doing his powwow with the media, you just know, well, if DK Metcalf had played, we feel like we'd have made the postseason. I do think they'd already be in if they had him. And I do think his loss is massive. But it should be less of a hindrance this week for two reasons. One, you know what's not going to work because it didn't last week. So it was kind of the dress rehearsal. And two, this Ravens defense, this Ravens secondary, this Ravens pass rush, not in the same stratosphere with Cleveland's. Particularly when you consider that Cleveland was playing at home and the Ravens defense is going to be on the road. You know what's going to be massive this week, Mr. DiTommaso, the hard count. That is such a weapon for Rodgers at home that isn't usually as big of a weapon on the road. Maybe you can get the Ravens into a couple of offsides calls where you can lob it up for some free plays. And we've seen that's whenever he'll target the middle of the field more than any other time. We got time for one more, Brian in Valencia. We got Chris Carter at the top of the hour with his weekly matchup segment. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just want to chime in. And
sure.
You know, for me, who's responsible for the team? Who makes all the decisions? What's the one thing that hasn't changed since Ben's left?
That'd be Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. Who also failed on replacing Ben Roethlisberger as a quarterback?
That'd be a lot of people, but I think you're going for Mike Tomlin.
Yep. And second year in a row, same problem, wide receiver too.
No doubt. But how do you think that affects this game whenever you could say a lot of the same things about Harbaugh that you could say about Tomlin?
Because every year for the past 9 years, we stumble into the playoffs, get blown out, get embarrassed, but Mike Tomlin's still around. He's the common denominator in all of this. Everybody, all the fans, all the media, everything complains about the same thing, right? Just an average season, Mike Tomlin's non-losing season.
So you think they're going to lose on Sunday?
I don't know. I don't think anybody can predict it because we haven't had consistency all year. We had three consistent games, and then we run into Cleveland. And I don't know how you could have called a worse game as a coach or an offensive coordinator.
I'm with you on that, Brian, and thank you for the call. Does Brian feel like he's saying things that nobody else has said before that we haven't said a million different times? Look, if the Steelers lose the game, we're firing Tomlin on Monday. And by we, I mean the fans, the media who are fans like myself. Yeah, we'll be firing Tomlin on Monday. But I'm talking about the damn game on Sunday. And he says all that to say, I don't know who's going to win. If you're going to lambaste Tomlin for a 45-second call, at least have the stones to say they're going to lose. Look, I don't think Tomlin's done a great job this year. I think it's it's difficult to argue that he has. But I think Harbaugh's done a worse job, which is why, weirdly, I think the Steelers are going to get it done. If the Steelers win, it doesn't make me feel like they're going to win a playoff game. But we'll bitch about that next week. For now, I think you've got the coaching advantage in this game. Tomlin knows Harbaugh, and Harbaugh tends to make one more mistake than Tomlin does in these games. Now, it didn't happen in the playoff game last year. But the Steelers went on the road and beat Harbaugh this year. I think that matters. And people want to point to that Isaac Lightly should have been touchdown at the end of the game. And I've heard even Starkey and a lot of people say, oh, the Steelers were lucky to win. They were up 17-3. They were ready to play from the jump, and Harbaugh's guys weren't. I don't look at it as lucky at all. You either win or you lose. You either start fast or you don't. That matters to me. And Harbaugh didn't have his guys ready to go. Why do I think Harbaugh's going to have them ready to go in this one? And if there's one thing Mike Tomlin has generally done in his career, it's bounce back. Same thing with Rodgers, which is what we'll get into with Chris Carter coming up at 8 o'clock. We can take a few more of your calls before we hear from Chris at 412-928-9370. There are two guys that didn't touch the ball anywhere near enough against Cleveland that need to touch it more on Sunday. Who needs to touch the balls? I'll tell you next. Yeah, I just can't agree with that call from Bobby in the last segment at 412-928-9370. He said he would much rather see Snoop Huntley than Lamar because Lamar's a competitor and you'll get his best in a big game. Lamar has won 72% of his regular season games. That is staggering. 7 out of every 10 games, when that guy plays, he wins. In the postseason, he's under 500. He's 3-5. He comes up small in the biggest moments. Now, Rodgers hasn't necessarily bathed himself in glory in the postseason. Rodgers 162-93-1 in the regular season. He's 11-10 in the postseason. It is harder to win in the postseason. He's at least above 500. Lamar in his prime, 3-5. Now, Rodgers did most of the playoff winning when he was in his absolute prime. That's how that goes. Unless, of course, you're Lamar and you've won two MVPs and you lose more in the postseason than you win. So I don't think Lamar is one of these I'm going to rise to the occasion guys. And this, for me, is a playoff game. Of course it is. How could it be anything but? You win, you advance, you lose, you go home. I'll take Rodgers in the playoffs over Lamar. And Lamar ain't even healthy. Greg in Illinois jumping on the program. Hi, Greg.
Adam, I love this show. I love your enthusiasm. I'm like a 50-year-old dad. My son is 25. We are so jacked for Sunday night. All the callers, anybody in the studio that's not up for this game, this is a winner-take-all rivalry game. I don't care what anybody else says. You go to that stadium, and you got to be loud. You got to be obnoxious, and you got to be ready to go on Sunday night.
Let's go, Greg. Greg, are you going to be there?
Unfortunately, I am not. I was an actual.
Damn it,
I was
Greg.
Watching the game at a bar in New York City last weekend, and I was devastated by the performance against the Browns. But that's over. Rearview mirror. It is time to. Hey, you. The Steelers are. That's what we do with this franchise. You get a chance every year to get into the playoffs and see what you can do. We've got a veteran club. Let's see what we can do in the playoffs, but you got to beat your rival first.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about the playoffs right now, Greg. Thank you. Win the game. Win the game. It's a winner-take-all game. If it was against any other team in the NFL, I don't know, I'd feel good about it. But Lamar comes up small in the biggest moments, and Harbaugh tends to out-Tomlin. And we're using Tomlin, yes, as a negative verb. I'll take Tomlin over Harbaugh. I'll take a healthy Rodgers over a banged-up Lamar in a big game. I will. It doesn't mean that I think the Steelers are great. It doesn't mean I think that they're going to win a playoff game. It doesn't make me think that we're going to be doing, having a parade down the Boulevard of the Allies. No. I just think that the Steelers at home have the coaching advantage and have the quarterback advantage. And if those things don't matter, then shoot, what the hell does? And Baltimore's defense, folks, is not good. They won the game against Green Bay because you had Snoop Huntley and you had Harbaugh staying out of Snoop's way and allowing Derrick Henry to be the reason why they won the game. The defense was abysmal in that game. The Ravens allowed 8.2 yards per play. 67% of the Steelers' reception yards on the season, they come after the catch. That's by far the most in the NFL. Well, 44% of the passing yards that the Ravens have allowed is after the catch. One of the worst marks in the NFL. The Ravens only had one sack last week. They had zero sacks against Rodgers the first time. I think this is a good matchup, the Steelers' offense against that Ravens' defense. And I think you need more Gainwell. He only had three catches against Cleveland. And you need more Freiermuth. It shouldn't be that hard. No DK Metcalf. Clearly MVS isn't the solution without a DK. Clearly Thielen can be a killer in zone whenever you got DK out there. There is no DK. So who do I want the ball to get to? Pat Freiermuth, who made a couple of big plays down the stretch against Cleveland, and damn Kenneth Gainwell, who might be your MVP if it's not Aaron Rodgers. And Kenneth Gainwell's a big yards after catch guy. Get those dudes the ball, Rodgers. We'll get into more matchup stuff with Chris Carter. He's going to join us next. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast. What does he expect out of TJ Watt? How does he expect the Steelers to try to slow down Lamar and Derrick Henry? All of it on the way. First, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Partly sunny today, high at 25. On Sunday, for Steelers-Ravens, kickoff temperatures just below 20 degrees. It's Fan Morning Show.